I don't know, I'm so nervous today than I've ever been. But I'm just encouraged by the word that's been shared now, because when you hear what I'm about to say, it will make sense. God wants to use us all to build his kingdom. We all have a part to play in it, so that is just spot on. I'm just continuing from where Pastor Mark, I know he doesn't like me calling him that, started last week. And it's about iron sharpening iron. So I believe we're all irons here to sharpen one another. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. So we're all in the path. We all have a role to play about sharpening each other. Like Mark said last week, to live and grow in the faith, we have to want to be sharpened. It's a decision. You have to want to, you know. We are all valuable in the growth of others. So you might think, I only play a little part, and that part doesn't matter, but it's all part of the big picture. It says we are all responsible for one another. And to be able to be sharpened, you need to be made of some form of metal. Because if you're wood, when you're sharpened, then you will end up being chippings. I remember that very well. And if we're both iron, then there will be a spark, and that's a good thing. In 1 Corinthians 12, 27 to 28, Apostle Paul describes the church as the body. He says the church is the body of Christ. We're a whole body. And he says, that word says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. I think it's like we've seen it come full circle this morning. We've had the tongues and we've had the interpretation of it. So you just see how that all comes together. We all have different parts to play, and we're all a part, but the Bible says we are one body. Now, if we're one body, I can't say I'm more important than you are, because I'm the eye and you're the leg. We all have to come. All these parts have to come together to make one body. It's not one, it's not two bodies, it's not many bodies, one part. It's one body, one body. Just remember that if you don't hear anything I say today, we're one body, many parts. He also goes on to say, so I'll say, like, from the welcome team, I'm not going to go through all the departments and then we end up at the tea and coffee. We're all part of it. We're all playing a role. I'm standing here today because it's not because my message is so great. I have so great a message. But if we've not had these other parts coming, I could be talking to this building. There will be no one here. So we all have a part to play. No one is more important. Paul also goes on to say, further down in that 1 Corinthians 12, he says in 1 Corinthians 12, 15 to 20, now if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, will not for that reason stop being part of the body, you know, because then it won't function. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it will not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, just imagine that. I mean, then it's only, it won't be see. What about hearing, smelling, and every other part? So he says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. So whatever your part is, no matter how important or how insignificant you think it is, that's what God has given you. And you have to play that part. It doesn't matter how small or how big. You just play your part, and there's a reward for that. It says, as there are many parts, but one body. Remember, one body, many parts. Now, you might ask, what's my part? I don't really belong in any. I'm not the prophet, neither am I the miracle worker or the one to speak in tongues. Did you see helps there? Helps is there, covers there, other one, the tea, the coffee, the welcome tin, and every other one that's not mentioned there. So you have a part to play. Now you might say, how do I know what part I have to play? What are you passionate about? What is it you're looking like in the church and you're thinking, I could make a change there? I don't think that's happening the way it should. Well, that's where you should belong. Imagine if we're all the same parts, there will be no body. Don't mean as in no, you know, no as in the body, there will be nobody. Because we are all different parts, we have a role to play. If we carry on in that 1 Corinthians 12, 21 to 24, I know I'm reading a lot, but I just want you to get the gist of it. It says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Whew. We don't see the lungs and the other part of our body, do they? But they're, you know, without them, then this other outside one will not function, will they? While presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Yeah, Yudi, you preached a good message. Yeah, the sound team made it happen. You know, we all only turn that way when we hear that screeching sound. Oh, what's happening there? But we forget that that's the part that is sort of holding it together, you know? So I could hold this, then if you don't hear me, then everyone will be looking there, what's happening? Yeah, so we all need every part. It's saying, no matter how important, I'm saying that again, or insignificant your part is, we are all equal. Don't exclude your part, and don't exclude any other person's part. In summary, many parts, one body. To make the body, you have to bring your part for it to be complete. No part is more important than the other. We're equally important. Same parts, then there will be no body. There should be no division in the church because none is greater or lesser than the other. If one part suffers, the body suffers. Imagine when you have a paper cut. It's only there at the tip of your whole body is like feeling the pain. It's just, you think it's only a paper cut. I've not lost my finger, you know. So just imagine that. Craig, that's why I called you. You have no pride in being the eye, you know. Katie Ann, you have no shame in being the foot. We got that pride and shame. It's not here. Don't belong here. Okay. How do we sharpen one another? Well, you know, we say sharpen how? Discipleship, mentoring, teaching, leading, you know, playing our part in church. That tea and coffee, I'm sure if we come round one Sunday and it's not there, some people might not come the next Sunday. We don't see the people who put the chairs out, but imagine if you came on a Sunday and you had to go drag your chair from there. You'll be fuming, like, ooh, why didn't they put the chairs out? You know, like, it's someone else's job. So, and then it's like, in all this, yes, you've got a role to play, but how do you play this role better in love? You know, even if you're the leader of, you know, a team or the pastor or, and you want to pull someone from the brink of hell. Just excuse me, English. You want to pull someone from the door of hell. Let me just use that. You have to do it in love. It has to be done in love. The Bible says, owe no man anything but love. It doesn't say money. Love. It says love conquers all. Oh, it goes a great way. You know, when something is done to you in love, told you in love, you're like, oh, okay. I get it. So the Bible is saying we should do that. If we go in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 4, it says, if I speak in tongues, you know, the Bible, Paul here is saying, you know, even if these tongues are like fire there, and there's no love, it's just noise. He goes on to say, if you have the gift of prophecy, you know, prophesy that, you know, the world is ending tomorrow, and you don't say it in love, and you prophesy, oh, Yudi, you will be, you know, the prime minister tomorrow and all that. It still doesn't, it has to be done in love. He says also, if you have faith that can move mountains, still do it in love. Oh dear, if you're going to give all your money to the church and your time, oh, I'm here every Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, just what do you want us to do? I'll be here. If you're not doing it in love, don't bother. That's what the Bible says. So love is equally important. And this 1 Corinthians 13 just goes right after he's talked about this one body. So our gifts are great, but just don't forget to do whatever you're doing in love. Don't you know? If we go on, it says love is kind, and you get all the things about love, and it's patient, and you know, it goes on to say much. You could read that in your own time. So 1 Corinthians 13, all that love is. Now, straight, when metals are sharpened, there's friction. There has to be, then if not, it's not metals, is it? A spark forms. Sometimes we have to agree to disagree. Is that right? It's not the other way right. Okay, the other way around. Sometimes we could be told off. Well, the way I look at told off and the way you look at told off might be different, because we all have there's something, that little chip on our shoulder there that's like, I could be telling you something that's right and you're like, oh, I got told off, told me off and all of that. But it just depends. But, you know, gentle rebuke, I will say, but all has to be done in love. Both receiver and bearer of the message, we have to be consistent. We have to be honest, we have to be, you know, ready to pack your ego, you know, just pack it in a bit, you know, because at the end of the day, what are we doing? We want to be wiser, we want to know more. We're not just sharpening each other for the sake of, oh, there's a spark and that's it. No, it's that we get better in what we're doing, in, you know, our character changes. So if we go, like, John 3:13, 30 says, Jesus said, I think it's John that said, I will decrease that he may increase. So at the end of the day, that's what I'm saying about the ego. We have to want to, like, you know, let some of the drama go. As hard as it sounds, look, even babies don't like being told no, let alone adults, you know. So it is hard, but we have to, at the end of the day, tell ourselves, what's the end goal? Someone challenged me recently. I didn't like the way they did it, but I thought to myself, well, you have to learn, as much as I didn't like the way the message was delivered. So but that's what it is. Even Jesus, in his time, he grew in wisdom and in stature, and he found favor with God and man. Jesus himself, you know, the one who's come with all the God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, he had all the spirituality. But still, the Bible said that Jesus grew. So how much more we have to grow in the work we do? Our attitude matters to God. I know there are times I've done things and I've thought, you know, like, yeah, it's great, but my thing there telling me you didn't do it quite right. The way we, you know, carry ourselves. There was a king in the Bible, in 1 Samuel 15, 22 to 23. And that king was King Saul. God told him, go completely, totally, utterly destroy these people. What did he do? He went there. He did the job. But in half, he destroyed, but not all. He brought back some. He brought this king back. Then he brought the best of the, you know, sheep and ram and all that. And when confronted, he said, oh, yeah, I want to offer sacrifice to you. That's not what God sent him. God said, utterly destroy. But he did, but half of it. So we can't do things in halves. I know it's hard, but, you know, just let your heart keep telling you, this is not the right way to go. And the Bible says, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying God? God likes a heart that obeys, that listens to him, that wants to do what he's told you. You know, I mean, this God, they say cattle on 1,000 hills belongs to him. If he wanted to offer sacrifice, he knew where to get them. Not the one that Samuel has saved. Saul has saved. And he says, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. But the one that really got me, he said, for rebellion is like the sin of divination. If you go to the King James, it says it's like witchcraft. Now, that is scary, to rebel. And that rebel is like, I did have and then I didn't do half. Oh, I would do it, but I won't do what. I remember there's that thing in the Bible where, is it the son and father? And that one said, I will go. The other one said, I won't go. But the one that said he won't go or something, he went. Yeah, so an arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Our heart matters to God. You know, you could bring all you have to him. That's great. And to Carmel Community Church, please do bring it. But remember, God is looking at the heart. He's after the heart. And what did God do? He said, you've been rejected today. That was the end of that. Saul was no longer king. Someone else took his place. So it's better to obey than to, you know, let's obey at once. I know even I find it hard sometimes. I'm fighting with myself, but that's what the Bible says. Also, it says, give cheerfully. 2 Corinthians 9:7-8. Don't give grudgingly, you know, every day I'm here, I'm the first one in and the last one out. Nobody in my team is doing that. Take a break. If you're tired, take a break. Because at the end of the day, when I look at it, I was thinking to myself, I can't remember in church, any church I've been, and they've said, oh, the volunteers are on holiday this week or something. You know, you keep going. So when you feel you're tired and I'm doing this job now, it's becoming like a chore. And we do feel like that because aside from church, we've got other things going on. We've got work, we've got family, health, you know, and all that going on. So if you feel like you're struggling a bit, I think it's good to say to the pastors or your leader, you know, whatever team you are in, that you need a break. You know, there was a prophet in the Bible, Elijah. Talk about depression. And he said to God one day, oh, I'm tired. I'm the only one. I'm very zealous. And this is after he's done this miracle or something that happened. And God has shown the Israelites that, wow, this God is God above every other God. And Elijah went somewhere and hid himself. He said, I'm tired. Kill me. They know he's that prophet that didn't die. He just went to heaven. Can you imagine the plan God had for him? But in this frustration, he's like, you know what? Take my life. I don't care. Just end it today. It's all over. And he was so depressed. Even after God had, you know, fed him and made him rest for 40 days, what did he do? He went and hid in a cave. God is like, what are you doing here? Yeah, well, I'm the only one left. Whoa. God is like, calm down. I've got 7,000 reserve. You know, so sometimes in this job, it could feel like, yeah, it's only me. If I don't come at 7, no one else. And true, it could be that's the case. But if it's becoming a chore, take a break. You know, in taking a break, someone else might step up and say, ooh, you know, those people who maybe can't come early will suddenly think, ooh, let's be a bit responsible. And they will come early. What happened with Elijah? At the end, God said, you know what? I'll change your assignment. Sometimes, too, we need to change department where, you know, if it's not working in one, please feel free to move to the next one. You know, so God changed his assignment and he started to anoint kings and, you know, then he gave him a helper. So also when you say, oh, I'm tired, it's a lot. And I know that can happen, especially in teams where there are not many people, you know, where there's not, the change is quite quick, like you're on this week and then maybe the next 2 weeks you're on or, you know, on the whatever team it is. And, you know, there are not many people. It can feel like it's coming quite quick. Maybe other people will step in too. So let's just remember, don't burn out. Because if you burn out, we have a burn out body. It's not just your part that's burnt out. It also affects the other part of the church. Because before you know it, sometimes you come in and you've said something or not said something to somebody. You've acted in a way. Then the next thing is all drama in this team going on here from one, you know, while you would have just stepped aside and someone then would have taken it up for you. So remember, one body, many parts. No part is more important than the other. Play your part and we'll have a complete body. You know, when women together came together, ooh, that's a bit. Anyway, we're four unsure women. I happened to join in by in short, to talk, and I won't say by mistake, but I just happened to be at the right place at the right time. And look at where the group is today. You know, God will use anybody. You just have to be to be willing, whatever it is. Nobody has all the answers. To my fellow volunteers, I say, well done. I'm not that I'm the pastor, not that it's my place to say, but I just want to say that be encouraged. The Bible says that he rewards us. There is a reward. You know, as you give your time, your money, sometimes you don't get seen, sometimes you get seen, but just be encouraged. And to those of us who haven't joined in, well, you're welcome to join us. Thank you.